Wow, it is so good to be back with y'all. Good to see all of you. It feels so good to be here. Thank y'all for being here. I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever been offended? Of course you have. Every one of us have been offended by somebody or something, you know, at least once, probably many times more. So this teaching is going to fit everybody because we're going to be taking a good hard look at offense. Now, I'm going to be giving you five main categories where it seems like it's most easy to be offended. Now, I want you to think about this because I've thought about how many times I've heard someone explain away their reaction by just saying, well, I was just hurt, you know. I was just offended, you know. That's why I acted the way I did. You know, as if that explanation made everything okay, you know. As though they felt like they'd been offended, and so it made their wrong attitude okay. I'm going to tell you what, that's not a good excuse. I'm telling you what, offense is deadly. It can do so much harm. And so that's why I'm excited about teaching this tonight. Now, men will seldom voice the words, I was hurt. They usually won't say that. But I tell you what, men get offended just as easily as women do. And even though they may not voice it that way, their hurt's going to show in some action, some kind of action that they have. Now, this Bible study is very important because I'm going to tell you what, how you handle these opportunities now to be offended is going to make the difference in your spiritual maturity every single time. Now, it's sometimes hard to recognize sometimes when we're going through this. You know, when a person is offended, there's a lot of different ways in which that offense will show up. You know, you'll even find yourself operating in a lot of different ways when you've been offended. One might just explode after they get offended. Somebody else might withdraw and become real quiet and pulled away. Some people cry. That's the easiest one to recognize. Some will compensate, and they'll try to cover it over by laughing or joking, trying to cover up so that no one knows that they've been offended. Some people will hold that offense in, and the world may not see it, but I can promise you, they'll go over and over it. They'll wake up in the middle of the night, and they'll live through it again, reliving it over and over. And when they relive that offense over and over, it amounts to unforgiveness. And you know what the Bible says about unforgiveness? It opens us up to the tormentors. So as we go through this Bible study tonight now, I want you to make it really, really personal. I want you to begin to do some real soul searching because this can absolutely set you free. And so I want you to be ultra honest with yourself. And I remember when I first looked up the offense. Thank you. And because I really hadn't thought about what it meant to be offended. And so I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance and I was shocked. It said to be offended means to trip up. It means to cause a person to stumble. When we're offended, it means to entice that person into sin, and it means to cause a snare. And I remember reading that and then just standing there and staring at it and thinking, Lord, I never realized that every single time I've been offended, you know, it's caused me to stumble, and it's enticed me into some kind of sin. So now, it's a little bit easier for me to stop and realize when I'm starting to be offended, to stop and say, whoa, do I really want to go there, you know. Because, see, an offense is sent by the enemy to cause us to stumble. That's what it's all about. Do you know what I mean when I say that the offenses are custom made? Okay, that means that would be offensive to me might not even offend you, you know, and vice versa. Now, the enemy, he knows exactly which button to punch for each one of us. He knows. He's watched us. An offense is custom made to fit your particular personality and to fit my personality. So if we'll be honest now, if we'll watch every single time we're offended, it's going to have the same pattern. We're going to start noticing a pattern. Now, the names and faces and circumstances, they may change, but I tell you what, the same dynamics are going to be there every single time when that offense tries to come in. Now, if we'll just realize that and if we'll start watching for it, you'll begin to stop those offenses. It's amazing how easily they can be stopped. Okay, the number one category of offense is when you feel like some member of your family your husband, your wife, your child has been treated unfairly. Now, that bothers us. We don't like that. And so, in the book of Genesis, we find now that Sarah had encouraged Abraham to have a baby by her handmaiden, Hagar. Later, however, after Sarah's son Isaac is born, she looks out her tent one day, and she sees that Ishmael is mocking her little son Isaac. And boy, she becomes offended. In fact, she's so offended that she decides she's going to send Hagar and Ishmael out to die. And now, God intervened and he saved their lives. But the fact still remains that Sarah was offended to the point now that she reacted in such a way that if God hadn't intervened, there very easily could have been a death. Now, that made me stop and realize, wow, our children many times can be a really strong temptation for us to get into offense. In fact, I've seen people who wouldn't have gotten offended any other way by anything else get so offended over something that was done to one of their children. So what we need to do, we need to remember that that's a place where practically everyone is vulnerable. We need to watch for that. I can remember a story told about my great aunt and uncle. Now, I'd never met them, but they told the story of how all the kids came home one day and they told their mother and dad, "Whoa, Omer got a spanking today at school." Well, I tell you what, they hooked up their horse and buggy, and the family said they went out in a rage. They were going to find that school teacher, and they were going to spank that school teacher. Well, he heard they were coming, so he ran out the back, and they said that he hid down in the woods, so they didn't get him. But, you know, I thought about that a lot of times, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know. So many times we've got to watch it when our children are involved. Now, the sad part is that child ended up in prison later, you know. So that's a prime example of how putting up with our offenses now, in any form, it can cause destruction. It can cause some serious destruction down the road. Okay, the number two category of offense is when you've been offended by a stranger or maybe just a casual acquaintance, someone that you don't know very well. Now, probably no one has been exempt totally from this particular category. Have you ever been badly offended by a clerk or maybe badly offended by a waitress and you made up your mind, I'm never going into that restaurant again. I'm just never going there again. Okay, I want you to think with me. If an offense from a salesperson that you don't really even know, if that can cause that kind of reaction, I want you to think of the magnitude of the repercussion when you allow yourself now to be offended with a brother or sister in the Lord. I want you to think about that. You're going to find that if you get offended, even if you think you've handled it, if you haven't handled it God's way, then when that person comes in the room, you're going to be stiff. You're going to find yourself just being real uncomfortable. You know, you won't feel like you can, you won't feel normal. You'll begin to feel uncomfortable and you'll want to get out of the room. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment and I want you to think of some person that you don't particularly like. Normally, I wouldn't ask you to think of somebody you don't like, but I want you to do that today. Maybe they just rub you the wrong way. And I want you to stop for just a moment, and I want you to ask yourself, why is it that I don't particularly like that person? And you'll find out most of the time when you're uncomfortable with someone, unless you're just in some insecurity. I'm not talking about that. But when you're uncomfortable with that person, you know, it's because they've done something that offended you. It might be slight, but if you'll be really honest, you'll think back and you'll realize there was something that happened that caused you to be offended. Now, it could be one of 100 things. You know, they may not have done it even to you personally, but you've been offended. It could have been the way they waste money. Or maybe it's the way they're too tight with their money. They're stingy. Or maybe you're all working on a project and one of the people are not doing their part. And that was offensive, you know. Or it could be that they don't discipline their children, and that offends you. Or maybe they're too harsh on their children, and that's offensive. Or maybe someone is just pushy and presumptuous, and they take advantage of people. And you think, okay, I don't like that, you know, and you're offended with them. Or maybe they're loud and obnoxious, and it embarrasses you. We're going to find out that embarrassment is a subtle way in which our offenses begin to show up. Now, when we stand in judgment of someone because they don't do things the way we think they should do, then we're going to find out that that's still a reaction to being offended. And you say, well, what if somebody is out of line? What if they're doing something against the church and it's hurting things? Well, there is a method in a church where you handle those kinds of problems. But that's not what I'm going to be talking about today. I want you to think today about the little annoying things that people do that just grind on your nerves, that's offensive to you, and that bothers you. If it's not handled correctly, you're going to find out that it's going to really do harm to your spiritual maturity. Now, we're not carbon copies. God never intended us to be a carbon copy, you know. One person may be loud and boisterous, and it might be offensive to one person, and it might be fun and exciting to the next person that's around them. God's wanting us to come to a place where we see each other through God's eyes, where we make up our mind, Lord, I want to see everyone that I'm around, all my brothers and sisters, I want to see them through your eyes, because God sees the finished product. He's the one that authors and finishes our faith. And, you know, it's real easy for us to look at somebody else and see things that maybe they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And it's easy to overlook something we're doing. You know, that's really easy. But he's wanting us to come to the place where we take 1 Corinthians 13 and we literally decide, I'm going to look for the best I can find in every single person I'm around. Now, this should be our goal. If anyone had a reason to be offended by the action of another person, it would have been Job. When you think about the story of Job, his so-called friends, his acquaintances now, they came at him when he was at an all-time low, and he had lost his children, he had lost his fortune, he had lost his health, and they were critical, they were insensitive to what he was going through. So we have to be really careful how we minister to people when they're going through a trial. And sometimes we have no idea what everybody else is going through. And it's easy to be judgmental. It's really easy to be insensitive. And it's easy for us then to look at that situation at face value. Now, there's a difference between discernment and speculation. And we find out that Job's friends, they just came and they began to speculate. They began to put out their speculations. And they began to speak to Job out of their reasoning. And Job could have been easily offended. In fact, it's surprising with all they came at him with that he wasn't offended. But Job 42:10 tells us that what did he do? He prayed for those friends. And because of it, God restored his fortune. Evidently, that was pretty important to God, what he did right there, for him to restore his entire fortune. Now, there's never a hint that Job got into unforgiveness. There's never a hint that he got into bitterness. There's never a hint that he became offended or he got hurt. Now, he definitely had the opportunity, but he handled it God's way, and it says that the latter days of Job were greater than the former. Now, you may be thinking, well, I just can't do that. When I get offended, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we're never going to do better if we don't start trying. If we don't say, okay, Lord, this is a really hard area for me, but Lord, I'm going to sincerely get you to help me. Push yourself to get out of your comfort zone. Hebrews 5:14 tells us that it's by practice that we learn to discern between evil and good. It's by practice that we train ourselves to determine that, Lord, I'm trusting you, and I'm going to trust you in that friend. And everything, we're going to see that everything in God's kingdom now comes by choice. So every time we decide to do it God's way, it's a choice. We can either choose to do it or choose not to do it. And he doesn't force us, but he gives us a choice. And sometimes we have to totally ignore our feelings and choose to do it God's way, because there's no place in the Word of God where God tells us that we go by feelings. You know, you would think, as big as our feelings are, you would think that surely there were some times it would be okay to go by feelings. God never gives us that choice, never gives us that opportunity. Whenever we have an opportunity to be offended, that's when we have to say, Lord, help me. You know, I choose to take your hand, and I choose to let you lead me through this. And it is amazing, the minute you start to do that, when that offense comes, the minute you start to do this, if you just reach over and take the Lord's hand, it's amazing how he will lead you through it. And you'll think, wow, that wasn't so hard after all, you know. But we have to lay our feelings down. We have to submit to him. Now, I've thought about this, and I thought, you know what, Lord? It seems to me, with what all happened with Job, it seems to me that the best way when we're offended is to say, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person. You know, it worked for Job. He had his fortune restored. It worked for him. And so I think that's what God's trying to tell us. Now, I'm going to determine in my heart that I'm going to choose not to be offended. I think it's a quality decision that we have to come to, and we have to make a statement and literally say it out loud to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to make a choice as of this day that I'm going to choose not to be offended. I'm going to choose to put that offense in your hands and let you help me walk through it, because it's a choice. I can't say that often enough. Every decision that we make is a choice. We can do it God's way, or we can choose not to do it God's way. Now, one warning, it's possible to think that you've dealt with your offenses, and it's possible to think that you've really handled them, when in reality you simply moved that offense off of one person and moved it over onto somebody else. You know, have you ever told somebody in confidence something, told them about a hurt or an offense that you were going through, and afterwards they went out and told it? And oh, all of a sudden, you quit being offended at the first person and you've moved your offense over to somebody else. You know, you've just transferred it. And or sometimes you've told somebody something and told them how badly you've been hurt, you know, and all of a sudden, they start telling you what all you've done wrong. So again, you take that offense and you move it off of the other person and you start moving on to them. See, the hardest offenses to overcome are the ones that we think we have the right to keep. I want you to think about that. The hardest offense that you will ever overcome is the one you think you have the right to keep. And most of the time, we start thinking about it and we think, oh, I was done so wrongly. And boy, I tell you what, we've got our foot on a slippery piece of ice and we're going down if we don't stop right then and say, I don't have the right to keep any offense. Lord, if I turn it over to you, you're going to walk me through it. So I want you to think about that, because when I realize that when I think I'm right, then that's when I really have to give it to God, because that's when I know I'm going to fall for that offense if I don't do something. And sometimes the one now to whom we transfer those offenses over onto is God. And that brings me now to category 3, where we're offended with God. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, God, golly, who could be offended with God? You know, he's never done anything. Let me tell you something. A lot of people are offended with God. A lot of people. And a lot of people are offended with God and they don't even realize that that's what they've done. But Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Blessed is he who is not offended in me or offended with me. Now, some translations say, blessed is he who does not stumble because of me. And when I looked it up in the concordance, it means both. To be offended with someone means to stumble. And I'd never put those two things together, but to be offended with someone is to stumble, it says. And when we stay offended, I can promise you, you're going to stumble at some point. Now, Matthew 11, 4 through 6 says, Jesus said, go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf are raised. And I think it's interesting that here in verse 5, he's telling us about these things, that the things that are coming from the Lord, the deaf being raised, the blind seen. And the very next verse, verse 6, says, blessed is he who is not offended with me. So these two verses, they don't look like they go together, but they go together perfectly. It's uncanny that one of the offenses against God, one of our areas of stumbling, is the healing ministry of Jesus. So many times you'll find that. Perhaps a lot of people are offended with the miracles of Jesus and are the way they've been done. They have something about it that irritates them. And without realizing it many times, they'll start pulling back. And just as many today as in that day when they were offended with the miracles of Jesus, we find that just as many today are offended. And healing is one of the big things, unfortunately, that causes people to get into offense. And that's why if someone is offended with you for believing in the miracles, believing that there's absolutely nothing impossible for our Lord, then you're going to find out that many times they'll get offended with you. But don't be offended against them, because actually they're offended with God. We're going to find out a lot of our offenses are we're offended with God, thinking that he didn't come through in a certain area. And when that happens, then the person that gets offended, they're the ones that's going to be the loser, because Jesus said in verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended in me. He's saying you'll be blessed if you don't get offended. You'll be blessed to be able to receive the blessings if you'll get rid of that offense. Now, probably every one of us have felt at one time or another in our life that God's let us down. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I had this relative and I was praying for him and they died. And I was praying, I was just pouring my heart out. I've had people say, well, they were believing for a certain job, they were believing for certain finances and it didn't come through. Some people think they've heard God and they decide to move out and operate in what they think they've heard, and all of a sudden they realize it didn't work and they get disappointed. And they think, well, you know, I don't know how to hear God. I'm just going to quit trying, you know. And what it boils down to is the fact that we're hurt with God. Maybe not consciously, but there's an offense because we think subconsciously that God let us down. I love John 16, verse 1, because Jesus said, these things I tell you in order that you will not be offended. I was shocked when I looked through the Word and I found out how many times that he was warning us against offense. And he said, I'm telling you these things just so you won't be offended. And then he goes on to say, and just so you won't stumble. Offense will always cause us to stumble. Now, when we realize that God put all these things in the Word to help us, then we're going to realize that God's on our side. Romans 8 is telling us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Anytime you think that God's not doing something for you, that he's not holding you up, he's not there, he's not helping you, I tell you what, get out Romans 8 and start reading it. If God be for me, who can be against me? And then it goes on telling you how wonderful the Lord is. Anytime something goes wrong, it's never God. It's never God. I can promise you that. God's not our enemy, but we're going to have to expose now these subconscious things that many times we're not even aware of. And we're going to have to cleanse and heal those areas where we've been taught wrongly, or when we slip into thinking, well, God just let me down. He didn't come through. Because anytime we deal with these areas when we've been offended, then when we start giving them to God, all of a sudden it's like he can open up so many blessings. It's amazing what God can start doing. But if we don't deal with them, we'll trip. And we'll be caused to stumble. And I tell you what, offense is a serious business. It's a serious business. Okay, number four category. Some people become offended with a ministry. A lot of people miss out on the blessings of God simply because they get offended with something that maybe happened in the church. You know, this little thing that one minister did, or that little thing that some other minister did. And they miss out, and it's a custom-made offense sent by the enemy. Because he knows just exactly what to tempt me with, and he knows just exactly what to tempt you with. And it's a planned attack from the enemy. Now, I'm not talking about when somebody is teaching false doctrine. Romans 16, verse 17 lets us know that we should be offended with the false doctrines. God was offended by the false doctrine of the Pharisees. But I'm referring to being offended by a minister or a pastor because they didn't do something exactly the way we think that they should have done it. And we do have the right to ask, is he of God? We have the right to look and see if there's fruit. We have the right now to see if the lifestyle is in line with the Word of God. But when that's taken care of, then the other things, that's God's business. How they do it, when they do it, that's God's business. And if he's doing something that in fact does turn a lot of people off, then what's our place? It's to pray. God has us, that's why he has us all praying for one another. And if we don't, we're going to find out we're going to miss our blessing by being offended. Matthew 15, 10 through 12, Jesus called the crowds and he said to them, hear and understand that what goes into the mouth does not defile a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. And then his disciples came and they said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you were teaching? I mean, offense has been here forever. Did you know there's a lot of people, Lord, they're offended with what you're doing, you know. And Jesus wasn't teaching what they wanted him to say. We're going to find out that offense will bring darkness and it'll bring blindness. The Bible teaches darkness and blindness. They talked their offense, and it was the blind leading the blind, and they both stumbled. Now, these offenses, it kept them from coming in to seeing the light of Jesus. And they, in turn, then talked it, and it kept somebody else from receiving it. A modern-day example of this is, and we've had this happen so many times, when we'd have people say, well, I'm not going to that revival this weekend. That preacher, he just dwells too much on sin. I want him to preach more on love, or whatever their complaint was. And sometimes I just don't want to go. That preacher just speak. He just preaches too long. See, when they're offended then with something, it's bad enough when they miss their blessing. But any time that we go out and we talk what our offense is, and we cause somebody else to miss their blessing, it's the blind leading the blind. It's exactly what the Bible's talking about, because our offenses are contagious. So we have to be so careful to watch our mouth and watch our attitude, because that's our responsibility. God has warned us over and over in the Word, and so now we're responsible for it. Well, what about when we're critical of ministers and critical because of maybe the way they handle people? I was praying about that and asking the Lord, and he reminded me of Matthew 15 when Jesus was faced with the Syrophoenician woman. And she came and she brought her little demon-possessed daughter. And she said, "My daughter needs healing." What did Jesus say in verse 26? He said, "That's bread for the children. That's not for the dogs." How would you feel, you know? And I thought about that. And she could have really been offended. She could have stalked off and she could have said, "He called me a dog. See if I ever come back again." But you know what? She could have even said, you know, acted like a typical Gentile of that day, saying, "Well, that's a typical Jew for you. You know, that's just a typical Jew." But instead, what she did, she refused to be offended. And in verse 27, what did she say? "Even the puppies eat the crumbs under the table." "Lord, I'll take the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs." And because she refused to be offended, she was able to receive exactly what she had come for. Now, one of the Gospels gives us a little hint, and I love this. It says, Jesus, knowing her heart. Sometimes we need to look for those little phrases in the Word of God, because they'll tell us a whole lot. In other words, he knew what her response would be. And if you read all these accounts and you read that, we find that more than likely Jesus was teaching his disciples a really good lesson on attitudes here. Because Jesus knew her attitude, knowing her heart. He may have even been playing with her, you know. Her attitude was right, and she went home with her blessing. She went home getting exactly what she needed. But think about the crowd that day. When the crowd heard that, there's a good possibility of some of them going home offended because of what they heard him say to the woman, not having any idea what was going on behind the scenes. And many times we can hear something, we can observe something, and because we don't know the whole story, we can allow offenses in, and it keeps us from the blessings. And I thought, oh, Lord, how many times maybe I've done that? So we have to be very, very careful there. Another example is Naaman. He was tempted to be offended with Elisha. Naaman was the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army, and he was a leper. He heard that he could be healed if he'd get to Israel. And so he came, and he brought all of his entourage, and they were there. And when Elisha didn't come out to meet him, and Elisha just sent word out and said, "Go dip in the River Jordan," boy, Naaman was almost offended. Thank God he had some wise servants. And I thought, you know, it's a good thing that Naaman passed up that opportunity to be offended, or he would have missed his healing. We need to be so careful not to be offended. I can't even begin to tell you how many things we can miss out on if we allow offense to come in. We can miss out on healings. We can miss out on God meeting our needs. We can miss out on so many, many things. Now, I've had people come privately to me and talk to me about something when they weren't trying to be offensive. Now, that's different. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when we see something going on in a church service, or we see something going on in someone's life, and we start thinking about it until we become offended with what we saw happen. We'll miss out on the blessing every single time. Okay, I want us to go to the other end of the spectrum. When God actually tells you something to do, don't be offended when people talk. When God tells you something to do, there's going to be people who are not going to like it, and there are going to be people who criticize. And when we get offended with what people say about us, or what they say about our ministry, you know, we're going to totally lose our effectiveness. The Bible says that if you live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted. And when persecution comes, this is such an opportunity to be offended. Now, category 5, offenses will often come through family members or close friends. maybe close workers that you work with. There is no offense that can cut any deeper than the one that comes through someone that you love, someone that you trust. But no matter how unfair that offense may have been, if you're the one being offended, and if you're the one that holds on to that offense, you're going to be the one that stumbles. Because the one who has the offense is the one that's going to stumble, the one that's going to be enticed into sin. You know, in 1 Samuel 17, David was a very young shepherd boy at the time, and his dad sent him with food to take to his older brother who was in the army. They were facing the giant Goliath. And the Israeli army, now, they were frightened. Well, David comes in and he says, what are they going to do for the one that kills the giant? I mean, he's interested. And the other soldiers, they evidently were frightened because they were not offended by what he said. They started talking to him about it. But Eliab, the older brother now, in verse 28, he was angry and he lashed out. He probably was embarrassed over his little brother talking to his friends and asking all those questions. And so he started really saying some cutting things to that little brother. And he was saying, who's keeping those few sheep that you have? Who's taking care of those sheep? You're just a kid. And so he was trying to embarrass David. And you're nothing but a little shepherd boy. Who do you think you are anyway? Well, David, at this point, think about it. He could have taken in that hurt. He could have been offended with his brother saying all those ugly things to him in front of the other guys. And he could have gotten into self-pity and he could have said, I'm going home. Eliab, I tell you what, you've treated me this way so many times and I'm going home. I'll never bring you any food again. You got the last food from me. You made a fool out of me. And David could have muttered all the way home, and justifiably so. In fact, he would probably have started remembering all the other things that his older brother had done to hurt him, you know, in the past. That's what we do. If we get hurt, we start thinking of all the other things that's been done to us. And he could easily have made a pain-inspired decision to wipe his hands and never help him again. And he very easily could have gone to his father Jesse and he could have said, Dad, you won't believe what he did to me. He just embarrassed me so badly in front of all the big boys. But you know what? He chose not to do that. We need to take that little scripture in our Bible and circle it really big, because he was a prime target right here. He could very easily have been offended. He made the choice not to. And Eliab had actually judged his heart. He had said, I know the wickedness of your heart. He judged the motives that David had. And nothing cuts any more deeply than to have someone judge your motives. That hurts when that happens, and especially when they're misjudging your motives. But thank God, David refused to be offended. Now, if he had gotten offended, think about what he would have missed. He would have missed out on the victory of killing the giant. He would have never been able to, God would have had to have gotten him into the palace another way. He would have missed the victory. He would have missed everything. And I thought about that, and I thought every time I've been offended, I've missed something. And sometimes we can be offended, and David, rightly so, we would have thought, well, he had a right to be offended. But look what he would have missed out on. There's giants in our land. There's giants in our family lives. We have giants all around us. And how we handle those things, whether we take in the offenses, when we take these things in, we're going to miss our blessings every single time. And it'll keep us from being able to go on to the victory. It'll keep us from being able to receive the kingdom as the Lord wants us to. Now, David had a good spiritual self-image. He knew who he was in God. And when we know truly who we are in Christ Jesus, and when we're secure in that relationship, we're going to be able to refuse these temptations. But we're going to have to get that settled inside of us and remember some of these stories in the Bible so that we'll be able to say, Lord, it's worth anything it takes for me not to be offended. You know, sometimes when we're young, we can pull some really stupid stunts. Jack and I had only been married less than a year. And before we married, my parents had told him how I was really bad about walking and talking in my sleep. And so they had warned him about this. And he really believed it one night when somehow in the middle of the night, I got up, I took a big picture off of our living room wall, and how I got it down under the covers, clear to the bottom of the bed, I'll never know. But the next morning when we wake up, we're looking and we start pulling the covers back, and there's this huge picture. Well, we laughed about it, but I could tell it bothered Jack, and it bothered me, you know. And so my sister, of course, she was young at the time. She hadn't married yet. So she came up with this wild idea. She started begging me to get a glass of cold water, put it on the nightstand, and then as soon as Jack got asleep, to start hollering, fire, fire, and then douse him with that cold water, and then pretend to be asleep. Well, you know, when you're young, sometimes those kind of things sound interesting. It did take a while before she could convince me, but she finally talked me into it, and it never crossed my mind to think about what the consequences were going to be. It never crossed my mind to think, what am I going to do next? And he worked so hard at that time, and so he was asleep by the time he touched the pillow. And so I had that cold water ready, and I doused him, and I'm screaming, fire, fire, and then I fell back on my pillow, and I was just sound asleep. Well, I had not thought it through, because I tell you what, here he is soaking wet. He comes up so angry, and I had to put on the best performance of my entire life, I promise you. I was so sound asleep, he couldn't get me awake. He couldn't get me to tell me what I had done, you know. And because of that, I mean, I froze. I told Sandra, I said, Sandra, if you ever tell it, I'll never do anything else for you again. So the next year, he would tell that story on me to every social gathering, every party, he would tell this story, and I would have to act horrified at what I had done, you know. Being offense, I learned the lesson of my life, and it probably was at least 2 years before I was able to confess it, and God spared my life. But anyway, so sometimes we can say that these offenses, we do it out of ignorance. Sometimes we're doing it by accident, you know, but anyway, the Lord began to make me realize that our best manners and our sweetest disposition should be manifest now among those that we love the most. But unfortunately, you know what? That's usually not the case. And it won't be the case until we stop and say, Lord, from this day forth, I want my sweetest manners, I want my best personality to be among the people I love. See, too many times we take our frustrations out on the ones we love because they're safe. You know, we feel safe there. But that's where then the hurts and the offenses come in. Now, of the people that I've counseled through the years, I'd have to say that at least 90% of the deepest hurts that have come through family members or close, close friends. And in Luke 15, this will be our last scripture, but this is the story of the prodigal son. And you remember how he went off and he spent all of his money on the riotous living. Then he finally comes to his senses, he repents, and he goes back to his father. And he said, I'm not coming back as a son. I want you just to take me in as a hired hand. Well, now the older brother, he had no way of knowing the condition of his younger brother's heart now. And so he's probably been holding a lot of offense against this younger brother probably ever since the brother left. And so in Luke 15, it says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked, what does this mean? What's going on here? And he said to him, well, your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. And he was angry and he wouldn't go in. Therefore the father came out and he entreated him. And what he was doing, he was pouting. I want you to notice that he let the father know that he was outside. And the father came out and entreated him. He wanted the sympathy now of his dad. And the Lord began to show me something. He said, when we pout, you know, he didn't pout outside by himself and hide and pout. When we pout, it's no fun if no one knows about it. Think about it. You're not going to pout if nobody knows about it. You know, and so he said to the father, you know, I've been serving you for years. I've always been for you. You've never killed a goat. You've never taken a goat and done a party for me. See, all that martyr spirit starts coming out. And in verse 30, he says, but when this son of yours, he didn't say when my brother comes. He said, when this son of yours comes, you know, you kill the fatted calf and you give him a party. Now, I got to thinking about many times a father at this point would have said, oh my goodness, you're right. I never saw it that way. You know, I'll give you a party next month. I promise. You know, I'll make it up to you. You've been so faithful. I'll make it up to you. But I want you to notice that father didn't cater to this. He wasn't about to cater to this. The father said in verse 31, son, you've always been with me. All that I have is yours. But we have to be merry. We have to be glad. For this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's been found. Okay, I want you to see that this parable is depicting God. And God does not cater to our offenses. And the reason he doesn't cater to our offenses is because he knows they're destructive. Every time we are offended, it's going to be destructive if we don't get rid of it. And it's got to come out. And because God is not going to be able to lavish on us the blessings that he wants to as long as we're holding on to an offense. It's like we have closed that door and we've locked it, and it'll stay that way. God will allow it to stay. He allows us to make our own decisions until we come to the place where we open the door and we say, Lord, I don't want any offenses. I don't want that anymore. You know, how many times have you been tempted to pout or maybe use the silent treatment on a family member when you were offended? You know what the silent treatment is saying in loud, bold words? It's saying, I'm trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to manipulate you by my silence into feeling guilty over what you've done to me. Now, I'm not talking about the times when you quit saying something so that you avoid an argument. Sometimes we have to be quiet to avoid an argument. But I'm talking about when you are silent and you do that to make them feel sorry for you, you know, so that it's a silent pout is what it is. And that's flesh, and it's destructive. You know, I've known children who 10, 20 years down the road, they're still nursing hurts from when they were at home. You know, I've even had them say to me, well, my parents just, they didn't treat me like they treated the other kids. I had to wear the old hand-me-down clothes, and they got new clothes. Or my parents were unfair in their discipline. Or they never had time for me. They were always too busy. And they're still licking wounds 20 years down the road. And maybe they were legitimately done wrong. But I tell you what, God is telling us, move on. Move on. These offenses will keep you immobile. It doesn't matter what's been done. Get rid of the offense. Get rid of it. God's saying, if you will do that, I'll return the years that the cankerworm has eaten. But he can't return it if we're still hanging on to it. You know, anytime we keep babying offense, if we keep it alive, what it does, we bind it to us, and it causes us to be just as big an offender as someone's been to us. So don't let your offenses cause you to become the offender. It's not worth it because Proverbs 18:19 tells us that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Think about that. A brother who has been offended is harder to be won back than a strong city. So that tells you how strong an offense is. And so determine in your heart that you're going to have a funeral, going to let it die and bury it, you know. Even those offenses that we hold toward ourselves can be so destructive if we don't give them to God. We've got to learn how not only forgive ourselves, but then allow God to come in and heal the offenses that are there. Now, some people stay in self-condemnation over things that they've done 10, 15 years ago. And God is telling us, call a halt to it. If you're holding an offense toward yourself, that's just as dangerous as when you're holding it toward somebody else. So we have to blot out the memory of those past forgiven sins with the blood of the word and then move on. You know, Psalm 119, verse 165, sounds too simple, but it works. It says, great peace have they who love your word, and nothing can offend them. I want you to think about that. Great is the peace that the person who loves your word has, and nothing can offend them, or nothing can cause them to stumble. And just say, Lord, no matter what it takes, I'm going to turn myself over to you and allow you to help me to get rid of all these offenses that are inside. And when you start counting them up, get you a pencil and paper and start writing down things that you're offended about. And it'll be amazing to you sometimes how many pages you fill up. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that it's so simple. Everybody thinks, well, I've been offended. And I deserve to be a little bit uptight about it. After all, look what they've done to me. But Father, no offense is worth it. No offense is worth it. I pray, Father, that we'll make that decision, each one of us, that we'll write down these offenses and then we'll mark them off and mark them off with your word. And we will choose to walk out our life free of offense. And when we do, you just open the doors and you just pour the blessings in. God, you're so good. You're so good. All you're doing is just waiting for us to turn loose of something we're hanging on to so that you can pour the blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.